Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and I want to wish everyone a happy post-Labor Day. Michelle Bell, editor of Supply of Global Resource Magazine, is in the studio poking Joe in the head with a pen.
She's still drunk.
Michelle, how did you spend your long weekend?
Oh, in Avalon. It was delightful. It was fabulous. And why am I poking Joe in the head? I don't know. It just came upon me to poke him in his little head.
Right. You keep your hands to yourself now.
Ow, that
Kathy
hurts.
Houston, editor of Advantages, is here. Kathy, since it's Labor Day, it's time to drain the swimming pool of yours, isn't it?
It is. It's very sad.
And
very sad.
When
indeed.
Do you do the draining?
The end of the month.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that. Thank you. Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor in the house. Joe, I'm guessing you had a sports-filled weekend?
Yep. We had 10 hours on a soccer field on Saturday. Same tournament that your daughter played in yesterday.
And she won.
She won. Our team did not win, but we showed very well. 2-1-1.
Finally, Andy Cohn, Kanzler's editor, is joining us on the phone. Andy had some important business to attend to this morning, didn't you, Andy? Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What were you doing this morning?
I had to take my son to his first day of kindergarten.
Ooh. And how'd that go? Exciting. Was there crying?
He was not crying, but there was plenty of crying, yes.
Your wife? You and Donna were crying.
No, she wasn't crying either. Everybody was fine in this family. It was other kids and moms and dads who were crying.
Aw.
Well, but we were good.
Good. Well, I hope he has a good day.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Craig Veltri in the studio this morning. I guess that means Steve Hawk got married.
He did.
So that's a good thing. He didn't run from the altar?
Nope.
That's good.
The hoopa.
And
the hoopa?
The hoopa.
And Samantha is here to take your calls. So today, among other things, we're going to take your calls on questions you have in regards to upselling current clients. So if you are working hard to get more money out of clients right now, call us and tell us your troubles, and we will send you a $25 Starbucks gift card. Start dialing now at 215-953-4979, and we will help you out. Joe, what's on tap for today's show?
Well, Melinda, Pfizer will pay a hefty fine to settle a lawsuit over its marketing practices. Give us a call, as Melinda said, at 215-953-4979, or you can also send an email to radio@asicentral.com if you need creative ways to sell add-ons. And if we put you on the air, you'll score a $25 Starbucks gift card. We still have Starbucks?
Yes, it's Starbucks.
Okay. Kathy has a look at what schools are doing to deal with the potential swine flu outbreak.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Andy has a look at spam words to avoid in your email marketing campaign.
Yes.
One NBA team has a creative idea for getting people in seats. Stay tuned for this story. That's coming from Joe. Yes.
Yes.
Let's try that again. The Crackberry addict herself will talk about why BlackBerry multitasking can be harmful.
That's me.
Battle of the sexes. Women are gaining jobs as men are losing them, and Kathy has the scoop. The clock is ticking, so how do you close a sale when you're under pressure? Well, Andy knows how, and he's going to share some tips. What TV workplaces do people want to work at? Well, Michelle has a list to share
Cheers.
With us.
That's a good one.
And if we have time, I'd like to get something a little bit off my chest, but first we'll start with the industry news with Andy.
Go, Andy.
Thank you, guys. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer agreed to pay $2.3 billion last week after pleading guilty to a federal criminal charge of illegally marketing a painkiller drug. In addition to charges of illegally promoting medicines for uses that they weren't approved for, the company admitted to giving doctors payments and lavish gifts to influence their prescriptions. We'll be discussing this further on the show shortly. Counselor Top 40 distributor Inner Workings released a lowered projection last week for its 2009 full-year revenues. The company said it expected sales between $400 million and $425 million this year, but had previously stated expectations of between $450 million and $475 million. Inner Workings cited the continued pressure of the global downturn as the reason for its downward estimate. A popular maker of aluminum water bottles just admitted that its bottles actually contain trace amounts of BPA, a substance commonly used to harden plastic. SIG said last week that the aluminum bottles it made before August 2008 had small amounts of BPA in them. SIG has benefited in recent months as it billed itself as an eco-conscious and safe alternative to plastic bottles. Now the company finds itself being criticized for misleading marketing claims. Check out Promogram today for more details. Plus, in Promogram later on today, we will have a brand spanking new edition of the Joe Show. Joe, what are you showing off today?
Watch out, Andy.
Watch out.
Get it?
Watches.
Ah, watches. Very good.
You're so smart, Kathy.
Very timely, Joe.
Oh.
Very good. So dial us. All right.
Thank you, Andy. We'll check out Promogram later later today for more news. Now, Andy, in other news, you did report in Promogram that Pfizer is being forced to pay a large settlement in a marketing suit. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. And they agreed last week to pay $2.3 billion because they were charged with marketing one of their painkiller drugs. Actually, there were four drugs, but one of the painkiller drugs was the main offender. And they were illegally promoting them for uses that the FDA hadn't approved of. And within the suit, they were also charged with basically paying off doctors. It's a certain trickle-down effect that hits this market when the pharmaceutical company like that is criticized.
Yeah, and the other drugs, well, one of the drugs was Baxter for pain relief, an anti-epilepsy drug, Lyrica, an infection drug called Zyvox, and schizophrenia medication called Geodon. And you know what happened? Pfizer was doing that. They were giving false information in their marketing, saying that it's good for these uses, and also they're giving bad dosage amounts too. And none of it was approved by the FDA. So you know, there's a class action lawsuit there, and the civil settlement, is $668 million,
wow.
And the state Medicaid share is going to be $331 million. So that's where your total comes
wow.
to $2.3 billion.
That's
so, you know, and it's kind of, you know, an interesting thing that people should keep an eye on. One, the whole thing with marketing, pharmaceuticals marketing, it's a little tricky out there. And plus, you know, be careful with your marketing claims that, you know, the products can do what they, you know, or do what they say they can do.
The problem here really for this market is that promotional products have been getting lumped in with all these other marketing practices that pharmaceutical companies use in their promotion. And, you know, so there's this Physician Payment Sunshine Act, which is currently being debated in Congress. And basically they're equating within that act, you know, a pen that's handed out from pharmaceutical companies to doctors as the same. Basically they're saying it's the same as giving a doctor a lavish trip. You know, obviously it's not, but they're saying that the influence of that pen and that lavish trip on the doctor is basically the same. So while that seems comical, it's a problem for this market because now pharmaceutical companies have to reevaluate exactly the types of items that they're using.
You know, it absolutely is comical. I mean, you have Congress is going to sit there and debate this bill.
Right.
I mean, they take contributions from all types of organizations that are there lobbying in Washington, from labor unions, from all over the place. And, like, that doesn't, you know, have any influence that comes with it, but a pen does. A pen to a doctor.
Right.
Is worse than this.
That's amazing.
Ah.
It sounds like your rant right there, Joe. Well, we're going to keep following the pharmaceutical industry closely over the next several months. We are opening our phone lines right now, though. If you'd like some ideas on how to squeeze more money out of your current clients, and who wouldn't, call us now at 215-953-4979. We will send you a $25 Starbucks gift card if we put you on the air. And we're going to go to line one, where we have a distributor, Tyler. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Wow, you're very cheerful, Tyler. You woke up Michelle.
You just perked up.
Okay, that's good.
Tyler, what is your question for us?
Yes, I was wondering if you guys can give me some ideas for items to sell together that I can present to my clients to get more sales.
Well, that's easy enough.
That sounds like...
Well, go ahead, Kathy.
If you're selling a mug, you sell coffee in it or candy. If you're selling a jar, candy. Mm-hmm. A pen with a journal. A cap with a T-shirt.
Well, that's the thing about pens. I think Counselor did a really good showcase on this recently, Andy. But, I mean, if a client asks you for a pen, there are so many different things that you can suggest to go along with it.
For sure. Like Kathy just touched on, a journal. And it, I mean, people even package pens. We have something in this issue where somebody wraps a pen around a dog collar, basically, and uses the dog
on
sales calls with them.
Jot down a note while he's going on a walk?
Well, dogs are pretty smart these days. You should know that.
That's true. Interesting. With golfing, too, I would think golfing items, if someone's looking for golf balls.
Sure, golfers like to get everything for free. So a sleeve of golf balls with a bag of tees,
okay.
You know, a golfing glove with a club cover, a nice club with a with
all right,
a
so
nice
I'm
polo gonna shirt.
Name an item, and Joe, you tell me what you can package with it.
Okay.
All right, mug.
Coffee.
And?
Chocolates.
Soup. Cocoa?
Soup.
Michelle,
you
feel free to speak up.
How about, I have a suggestion too. No matter what you're selling, always try to add on the packaging. Like,
uh-huh.
If you're selling shirts, sell nice wooden hangers,
absolutely.
Printed hangers.
Okay.
especially around the holidays, sell the gift wrap, the boxes, even down to the imprinted tissue and ribbon.
All right, what about a T-shirt?
Baseball cap.
Aha. Okay.
Nice. Sunglasses, flip-flops.
Perfect. There you have it.
All right, thanks a lot, everyone.
Good luck, Tyler, and stay on the line for your Starbucks gift card.
All right.
We have another call, and we're still taking calls, by the way, at 215-953-4979. Another call on line two, distributor Suzanne. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's your question?
Well, my question is, or my situation is, I have the one client that buys a nice size wearables order every year. I can always count on them for polos and jackets, but that's all they buy is polos and jackets. So I was wondering how I can upsell them to get a little more.
I would say what Kathy said. You know, Cliff Quicksell is the one who years ago first said the idea about when you sell wearables to sell it with personalized hangers, the wooden hangers, because it makes a really good presentation.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so that's a really good idea. Packaging, too, is something. And I would say to think about what season you're selling it in. I mean, if you're selling, if it's a client, I don't know what area of the country you're in, but if you're going to be selling for the winter, then I would say, you know, maybe a scarf or a hat or gloves as well, or those things that Joe likes, those slanket things.
Yeah, why not? You know, also, and if,
you know,
if it's winter,
where people look like deranged monks.
You know, if it is the winter time and you sell a jacket, put an ice scraper in the pocket too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good idea.
That's something useful. Everyone needs it. They're gonna put it in their
and accessories.
Car.
I would think, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
It seems like a natural. You also might look at the price point of the apparel you sell. I mean, if you're selling a polo, is it a branded polo from a really nice, you know, supplier, or, I mean, can you just upsell the actual item itself?
Right, right. Okay.
All right. Well, good luck, Suzanne. Stay on the line for your Starbucks gift card.
Thank you.
On line three, we have Cindy. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Well, Cindy, what's your question?
Well, I've heard you guys talk a lot about using packaging to get on add-on sales. Can you give me a little bit more as far as examples regarding that?
Kathleen, I think you've got some examples in your upcoming Advantages gift guide.
Oh, yeah.
I think I pretty much touched on them.
Don't keep them all to yourself. You know what I would say to do, Cindy, is go to the website for The Chest. It's a company in the industry, and that's what they specialize in, is packaging. And everyone I know in the industry who does really creative mailers, they go to this company called The Chest, and they craft whatever shape what you need, anything that's super creative, and they come to you with ideas. So I'm sure if you go to their website, you can find a ton of stuff.
Oh,
and we can put
perfect.
That on our ASI website today.
Thank you.
Well, good luck, Cindy. Stay on the line for your Starbucks gift card. Thanks very much. We're going to pause for a message from from today's show sponsor, ESP Online. When we return, we will offer some valuable e-marketing advice and give Michelle will give some cautionary tales about using her BlackBerry.
The ASI Radio Show is sponsored in part by ESP, the only sourcing tool relied on by 100% of the counselors top 40. Did you know that ASI invests over $1 million every year to keep the information in ESP up to date? Learn more about ESP at www.asicentral.com/store.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we always enjoy your phone calls. Call us anytime during today's show. We'll send you a $25 Starbucks gift card if we put you on the air. You can reach us right now at 215-953-4979. All right, guys, let's talk about swine flu. Michelle's favorite topic.
Oink, oink.
I just read an article about it in Vogue. I don't think it's as...
In Vogue?
Vogue.
Yeah.
Swine flu is in Vogue now.
Vogue has a wide breadth of topics that they cover. I don't think it's the...
Oh! And there we go. Good thing Andy's home. Andy, I hope you're coughing into your arm like you're supposed to.
I'm not as concerned about it as I was, courtesy of Vogue.
All right, well, school is back in session. I think that's why people are talking about it. Cold and flu season is coming up upon us, and that's apparently fueling the demand for some industry products.
That's right, and schools are worried about swine flu. And marketers for companies that sell flu kits, hand sanitizers, tissues, and disinfectant wipes are really having the work done for them by the media.
Absolutely.
The media is kind of creating this panic about going back to school and swine flu, you know, imploding again. And even Clorox Company, which steered clear of marketing around the original wave of coverage of this type of flu, has released a college survival guide.
Ooh, so they've jumped on the swine flu
bandwagon. That's right. That's right. And they released it through their public relations firm, and it can be downloaded at momcentral.com. It includes a list of must-haves, and those obviously include hand sanitizers, wipes, tissues, and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
So, and you know, there's even a company actually that is selling and marketing a swine flu plush toy.
And it's, now, what does it look like?
It's like this big pink blob. It looks like a germ. The company is called Giant Microbe, and they also have E. coli plush toys.
E. coli?
Who would buy such a thing? Don't they all look alike, germs? I guess not.
I think they're like snowflakes. I think they're different.
That's right.
Isn't there an E. coli toy?
Yeah, an E. coli toy, and a bed bug, too. Bed bug plush toy. If anybody's interested, the company's Giant Microbe.
And who would you give these to?
They suggest the perfect gift for a young Jonas Salk.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
I don't know. My kids
Jonas,
don't like
anybody
Jonas
know one of those?
Salk Jr.
I guess the upshot of this story is sales of hand sanitizer and those products.
Definitely. And obviously there's a lot of industry suppliers that sell
sure,
that
and
stuff.
If you have a client that really wants to market towards that, you know, schools, grade
definitely.
Schools, elementary schools,
I mean,
college, universities. I mean, why not slap your, you know, company
and even
name on
a
that?
A lot of the school districts are mandating that the kids have hand sanitizer in their backpacks.
My girls had to bring them to school this year.
Antimicrobial markers available
yeah,
in the industry.
Too.
You know,
pens. Yeah.
I mean, there's great stuff that would be nice to have on hand.
Definitely. At any time, not just swine flu time, Joe.
All right. Well, we are all worried about getting our email marketing messages filtered out by spam folders, and Andy is here to help us on that front this morning. Andy, what do you got?
You bet. Well, a website called SalesNexus came out with a list of about 200 to 300 words and phrases that tend to get snagged by junk and spam filters in email. So let me share a few of them today. We'll put on our website, asicentral.com/radio, the whole list so you can see it for yourself. But here are some obvious ones and some not-so-obvious ones. Call now, click below. Free offer, free sample, great offer, guarantee. Those are the types of things that tend to get caught. Of course, things like lowest price and marketing solutions, which I know people often use, are often also get caught in spam filters, so be careful with those. Other ones quickly are special promotion, fantastic deal, for free, no questions asked, no strings attached, stuff on sale, and one of my favorites, what are you waiting for? Which I think is a funny one. One that's very important, actually, that people I know put in their emails, not necessarily their email marketing efforts, but certainly their emails to current clients, the words order status tend to get snagged by spam filters. So you might want to be careful with putting that into subject lines.
That's problematic. Else. But do they suggest alternatives? Because I know words like free often work for people to open them as well.
They don't in this list.
And
I'm not, you know, I know that people use free a lot or, you know, free advice, free sample, those types of things. But I guess spam filters are getting a little bit sophisticated in the types of things that they pick up. Of course, you also don't want to say meat singles.
Yes. What about Viagra? Do you want to use
that? Yeah, you don't want to use Viagra, things like that. We hate spam.
Naked lady standing by, not good.
I think that might be caught.
All right, Andy, give us that article. We'll put it up on our website so people can check out those words for themselves. Thank you. All right, well, the NBA always has some marketing tricks up its sleeve, and Joe is going to tell us about one of their latest efforts.
All right, well, this is actually the team is New Jersey Nets, and they're trying to get people into the stadium to fill the seats. And they're actually working towards a more casual NBA fan. And what they have a deal now that if they buy a 10-game plan, that's two seats for 10 games, so 20 seats, whoever buys that will get five reversible jerseys. On one side it will be a New Jersey Nets, you know, team logo and name on the back. And on the reverse side, you reverse it, it's a marquee player from one of those teams from the hot games, like the Boston Celtics, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they don't think anyone's ever done a promotion like this where their home team promotion is actually giving something of an opposing team, a visiting team.
Yeah, they haven't done it because it's stupid.
I don't get it. You know, why you would need five jerseys, but, you know, some of the opposing players, who was it here? I have to pull my glasses down. Dwayne Wade thought that it was a great idea. You know, he doesn't play for the Nets, but he plays for a opposing team, and he thinks it's a great idea. So they're looking for creative ways to get people in the seats. And if you see some of those NBA games, those stadiums are dead.
It's creative, but isn't the point of marketing to get loyalty for your own brand?
I guess the NBA. They said that they're going after a more casual basketball fan, someone who's there to watch basketball.
They're marketing the whole NBA as a whole, rather than you know, as opposed to one team or player.
Right, but if you're going to an Eagles game, do you want a TO?
No, I don't, but like Joe's saying, it's for more casual fans that aren't really like gung-ho on one team.
Well, it's the Jets doing it. The NBA's not doing it. The New Jersey Jets, the team itself, is doing it. Yeah, the team is doing it. And they're kind of promoting their opponents.
Well, Andy's right. That is stupid.
Thank you, Kathy.
I agree. I agree with Kathy and Andy.
We give that promotion a thumbs down.
No, I don't want them. I don't want them. I'm not an NBA fan. I think it's...
It's the devil.
Well, then you're the guy they're looking for, the casual fan.
Yeah, Joe.
No, I'm not casual at all. I find
He's
it
anti.
Too hard to watch.
I totally misunderstood that. I thought they meant casual fan, like people who wear sweatpants.
All right. Well, switching subject.
No, casual, not blue collar.
Now, Michelle is an avid user of the BlackBerry, so it is appropriate
what?
That
you
she
have a BlackBerry?
Handles this next segment, which is about why BlackBerry multitasking can be harmful. Why is that, Michelle?
You know, can I just tell you guys that for the past couple months, Samantha and I, our tech here, have ranked number one and number two in company usage for the BlackBerry.
Be proud.
I'm in the top.
You
seven.
Are not, my friend. You're slacking. No.
However, I think I got the most messages of anyone in the company.
You get more incoming, but
yes,
Samantha and I...
Yes, I just don't return.
Yeah, we send more. Well, apparently, if you are a rampant BlackBerry user, as I am, and you do other things like texting and instant messaging and online video
which
watching.
Which you do.
And Twittering.
Twittering,
which
all
you do.
Of that.
I don't
all
think
of that.
Michelle's... Oh, yeah, you are tweeting.
Yeah, not so much. Maybe like twice a day I try to do it. But it can really compromise your productivity because what it does is that it stops you from filtering out what's useful information. And you start taking everything in, and it's impossible for you to decipher, you know, what's useless, what's useful, and what you need to retain. So somebody with a spotty short-term memory like I have already,
uh-huh.
This is not helpful. So what they suggest is that you set aside 1 hour a day, which this would never work. Samantha's looking at me like I'm crazy. Set aside 1 hour a day to check your email on your BlackBerry. And really kind of...
But all time management experts, that's something, a strategy everyone recommends.
Well, they're high. They don't know what they're talking about. I could never only check
so
for 1 hour.
So you're saying that you're highly productive even with this technology? Why do we all laugh?
What I will admit, though, is I think that we're getting to a saturation point where there's so much multimedia that people are being pulled in different directions
of
things that they have
kooky.
To do, that it's making it harder for people to delineate between focusing on one topic or setting aside personal time.
That is true.
You know, as we've talked about before, I mean, you know, work just keeps encroaching on private time because people, you know, check their emails constantly mm-hmm. and tweet and blog and things like that. So I think we are hitting a saturation point there.
But some of the stuff is personal. Like I'll do my Facebook only at night because it's just, you know, it could consume you at work and you don't want to take up your work mm-hmm. time with mostly personal things.
I am going to say something that will make you all laugh, but I think it's about setting limits for oneself.
Oh my God. Wow. Great advice from Michelle.
The great limit setter.
Yeah, what is your limit? You'll only respond to as many messages as you get.
That's right.
Her limit is 5 Grey Goose and tonics or whatever.
All right, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, ESPN Online. When we return, we'll show you how to close a sale while under pressure.
The ASI Radio Show was sponsored in part by ESP, the only sourcing tool relied on by 100% of the counselors top 40. Did you know you can search for decorator by zip code and embellishment in ESP? Learn more about ESP at www.asicentral.com/store.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Our phone lines are still open. You have a couple more minutes to call us, 215-953-4979. But first, Kathy is going to talk about...
Oh, I am?
You are.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, women are winning the latest war in the battle of the sexes. Woohoo!
Woo!
Go women!
All right. Well, as of June, women held almost 50% of all the jobs in
apparently
the whole country.
Apparently, they're actually expected to overtake
they are
men in the workforce.
At the current pace by October or November. So next month, girls rule, boys drool.
Not in Congress, though. Boo.
Well, whatever.
This
in
is
the overall landscape.
Workforce.
Anyway, this is because, of course, the boost came from a severe recession that has been brutal to male-dominated professions such as construction and manufacturing. Hopefully that's going to pick up with the stimulus money and stuff. But for now, women rule.
And that's the first time ever, right, that women
It's a historical first.
Yep.
Yes, it is. So, guys, you better get your game on and know how to approach the girls when you're selling stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And recruiters should be mindful of this as well.
That's right.
All right, well, let's talk sales for a minute. Many industry members are feeling a lot of pressure these days to close deals. And this morning, Andy has some perfect advice for those situations. Andy, how can people close sales?
Yeah, I have a few tips. Obviously, there's a lot of pressure on salespeople these days to, you know, get their business closed and get the deals on the books. So here are just a few tips that we found on entrepreneur.com, which we'll also put on our website. The first is to don't use a closing tactic. You know, you can't trick a customer into buying, especially today, and some of these tactics that people learn in sales training courses and the like, you know, can be seen through really quickly and easily. So be careful with the types of tactics you use at the close. The second is to really look at objections as opportunities and not obstacles. You know, you're going to get a lot of objections these days, especially at the end of a sales process. So be sure to keep asking questions. Keep asking why. Keep asking, you know, what else is the company looking for. Keep searching for reasons as to how you can provide solutions to what their challenges might be. And the last is to really practice every day. You know, closing comes with confidence, so you need to be sure of your own abilities. So practice with your colleagues, practice with any sales manager that you have, and make sure that your techniques and the questions that you're asking are sort of on point to the type of customer that you're talking to.
Well, there you have it from Andy Cohn, a.k.a. The Closer.
Oh, Closer.
You and Kara Sedgwick. Thanks, right. Andy. Speaking of Kara Sedgwick, the fall TV season is upon us, and Michelle this morning is going to give us a look at some TV workplaces where we'd like to work.
Well, let me ask you guys, if you had a choice of the shows on TV, what situation would you like to be in to work in?
The like, office.
The office?
Because you want to work in the office.
Yeah, because they're all crazy, and I'm used to that.
Actually, that was the number two office setting that people said. Melinda?
I have to think about that.
Joe?
30 Rock.
That was number one.
Oh, I've never seen that show.
Because it's so, each character is so pronounced and so funny. And I'm going to put this on our website. And it's a good thing to know, because I think if you're a boss and you look at what type of staff you have, that's a good way to craft kind of loyalty incentives and motivational incentives. I mean, if you have a wacky staff, you want to give them, you know, more fun and creative gifts. If you have a more serious staff, maybe, you know, give them polos and things that are of a more serious nature that'll help them, you know, be more successful in business. Andy?
You know, I'd go with Homer Simpson's workplace. He doesn't really do anything.
Power plant.
So that sounds interesting.
Interesting. I think I'd work with CSI. Was
really?
That on the list?
Yeah. CSI was not on the list.
Well,
actually.
I'd like to go do that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Investigate things.
Oh.
Except I don't know if I'd want to see all the dead bodies.
I'm gonna.
Well, you kind of have to. Yeah. That's part of the job.
Well, I want to be like a detective. All right, so what are the other workplaces?
The other list? I'm going to give you two more, and they're both would be my choices. Rescue Me, which is the Dennis Leary TV show. About
oh, that's
the,
good.
Yeah,
isn't that
about
Firehouse?
The Firehouse, yeah.
You wouldn't want to work in that Firehouse.
No. They're all
especially
cute,
the
and
women.
They're funny, and
ooh,
they're
Michelle,
sassy.
Apparently. Would
the
you
cougar comes
fight
out.
The fire?
You like the pole.
Would you want to go fight the fires?
Michelle? No, no, but I would be sitting back at the Firehouse for them, waiting to give them a cocktail or something.
Oh. Or something.
So we have a crime scene investigator who doesn't want to look at dead bodies. And we have a firefighter that's serving drinks.
And it's always good to give firefighters a nice cocktail before going
out
on them.
Well, when they're off, when they come out of the fire. And then lastly, True Blood, the show, the HBO show about the
where do
the
they work?
Well, it's
they're
a
vampires.
Vampire show.
And do they work in a morgue or where?
No, no, no. They work in a bar called Fangtasia. Get it?
Oh, wait a minute. I found my show, Entourage.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'll work in
it. Let's hug it out, biatch.
Yeah, I'll be one of the guys.
That's a good one.
I'll ride around with Turtle. How about the bottom?
They don't really work.
The Sopranos.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, it's he's an actor.
He's an actor.
Come on.
Now, see, if your staff was like, if they liked Entourage, then you would pick like specific gifts like we show a lot in successful promotions for people
absolutely
who like Entourage.
Entourage.
Like Blini stuff.
That's my show. All right, finally, he's got a whole long weekend of angst wrapped up inside of him, and it's time to let it out, guys. It's time for Joe Haley's rant.
Now, this is a little one, and it has nothing to do with soccer or soccer parents. Has anyone noticed the new email tactics being used by marketers and PR companies?
No.
If you haven't, you need to start paying attention to your inbox. More importantly, pay attention to the subject lines in emails being sent to you. More and more companies are putting an RE or FW at the beginning of the subject line to give the appearance that the email is either a reply, RE, to something you've sent out or a forward of a message to someone else has sent out. Yes.
Hmm. And I've opened them and been tricked.
I hate it. This to me is dishonest and deplorable practice. Some might think it's a clever way to get an email opened in a sea of spam, Andy, I don't like it. I'm opening an email under false pretense.
Oh,
hey, wait a minute. I have no idea who this guy is, and I never sent him anything. So if you're thinking about doing this, I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying I don't like it.
You know, you can tell how pissed off he is because of the wild gesticulations with his hands.
Yes.
You were gesticulating.
I think it's like, who is this guy?
I think it's a dumb idea.
It is. You know, he's replying to something. You open up, there's no reply there.
There you have it.
That reminds me of a song.
On that note, that's all we have time for today. Thanks to today's show sponsor, ESP Online. And thanks to our loyal listeners. Have a great week of selling. And tune in next week when we broadcast live from where?
Las Vegas.
ASI Vegas. We'll see you there. Have a great day.